Last Thursday was Ascension Day. And the collect that starts our worship this morning talks about Christ being raised to triumph in heaven. And so these are themes that seem like they're about going away. And then we're given this gospel that's all about oneness. And there seems to be a paradox here at play at the end of the Easter season as we get ready for Pentecost. As we sit here this morning between the Ascension and Pentecost, and we're left to struggle with the reality that the Ascension is a going away that isn't a going away. That the Ascension is actually a going away that draws things closer together. It's a paradox that, for very particular reasons, we are encountering here between the Ascension and Pentecost. Part of what is going on here is we're pushed to reflect on the whole work of God in Christ. And if we go all the way back to Christmas, and we think about the incarnation, the creative Word of God made flesh in the infant Jesus, we see there God joining our life, God coming into our flesh, and Jesus, the incarnate one, lives the entire human experience from birth to death. God joins our life. But God is never one to do things by halves. And so Christ is risen. And here's where I think, without thinking about it, we make a mistake. I think the mistake that we make is that we think that perhaps at the crucifixion, or perhaps at the resurrection, Jesus stops being the incarnate one. And the reality is, the theological teaching is, that Jesus never stops being the incarnate one. That's important. That's important at the Ascension. I always chuckle because one time some children in a church that I was leading were asked by their Sunday school teacher to draw a picture of, they heard the Ascension story, and then to draw a picture. And one clever little child drew a bunch of clouds with feet sticking out of them. And I thought, that's perfect. That's perfect. Why did they watch him bodily ascend into heaven? Because the incarnation had not stopped, and indeed it never stops, and that Christ went as the incarnate one back to his seat at the right hand of the Father. And it's important for us to know that, because the great work that God is doing to save us and to love us is to bring together the divine and human. And that work starts when God becomes flesh in Jesus. But that's not enough, because God never does things by half. And also then the incarnate one returns to his seat at the right hand of the Father. And so God has changed God's very self to love us, to include us, to be one with us. God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Word, God the Spirit, in Christ became God the Father, God the incarnate Word, God the Spirit. So that our human experience is now a part of God. That's part of what's actually, that's the main part of what's important about the Ascension. But in the great work of drawing together the divine and the human, That's not enough for God. That is not enough for God. So as we remember the ascension from last Thursday and think about that great mystery of the incarnate Word now being part of the Holy Trinity, we're also asked to be preparing for, to thinking about next Sunday and Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because God sends the Holy Spirit to be in our life. Or if you want to be really theologically savvy, at Pentecost, God places our life in the Holy Spirit. And in placing our life in the Holy Spirit, guess what? We become incarnate too. Spirit and flesh, divine and human. Now, we don't do that perfectly the way Jesus did and does. We certainly don't. That's why the church teaches us to continually study our scriptures and to pray and to receive the sacraments and to engage in the work of discernment where we seek the Spirit's guidance in our life. We do those things because we have to grow into the reality of being one with God. Jesus did it perfectly. We don't. We have to grow into that. And it will probably take each one of us all of eternity to fully grow into that. But the sending of the Holy Spirit is putting our lives in the Holy Spirit, into the divine. It is more of that work of bringing together the divine and the human. And it is that work that these last chapters of the book of Revelation that we've been hearing from these last couple of Sundays talk about. They attempt to give us another picture of the great bringing together of the divine and the human by showing us the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven onto a renewed and reformed earth where everyone realizes what's already true. That God is in our midst. And imagine what it will be like when everyone can see that, when everyone can experience that, when God's presence in our midst is taken so completely seriously that we renew the whole earth. Oof, love that. Love that. And it's yet another image of that great bringing together of the divine and the human. And that's why the church gives us the gospel reading that we heard this morning. We've talked about this before, this chapter in John. It's the prayer that Jesus prays at his Last Supper with his disciples. And it's a long prayer, goes on for a whole chapter and a bit. And it's full of prepositions, and those prepositions do verbal gymnastics, and it's really hard to read, and we get lost in the middle of it when we try to read it. I'm in him, and he's in me, and you're in me, and we're in them, and it's, ah. But the reason that that chapter is so full of prepositions that do gymnastics on the page is because the chapter is Jesus praying for oneness. And the oneness that God would have with us messes everything up, turns everything on its end, and renews it all. And so Jesus prays, you've given me these disciples. I've given them your word, which I could do because you and I are one, and I've made them one in me. And just like the transitive principle we learned in middle school math, if Jesus is one with the Father, and we're made one with Jesus, we're made one with the Father. The only time, probably, I'll ever use math as an example in a sermon. Not my best subject. But the idea is there. It's there throughout that chapter. It's throughout that prayer that Jesus prays. The whole prayer is a prayer of oneness. And the church gives us that prayer Because the ascension, paradoxically, is a going away that sends the Holy Spirit and continues the work of making one. So the ascension is paradoxically a going away that isn't. And sitting on this Sunday between ascension and Pentecost, we're asked to remember that the Word made flesh is part of the Trinity, and we're asked to be getting ready to think about, to reflect on, and to prepare for the reality that at Pentecost we celebrate the fact that our lives are set within the Holy Spirit, that we are indeed incarnate, just as was Jesus, though not perfectly like he did it. It's the bringing together of divine and human and numerous acts. Indeed, every act that God has done in Christ is about the bringing together of the divine and the human. I love the way the prophet Hosea said it. The prophet Hosea said, "You bind us to you with cords of compassion and bands of love." Isn't that wonderful? And that's the challenge for today. And as you think about next Sunday and Pentecost, think about that God has bound you, every one of you individually, God has bound you to God's self in Christ. God has bound you to God's self in Christ with cords of compassion and bands of love. And we're asked to believe that. And not just believe it, but do it too.